How have you not seen this?
And welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This? As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by my guest host, Jackie Shreves.
Hello.
Our ongoing guest through the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Alex Green.
Hey.
As well as Andy Latrell.
Hello, it's me.
And Dan Swartout.
Hi, I'm Dan Swartout.
Nailed it. And we just watched Marvel's The Avengers, notable for making more money than anything in the history of anything that has made money.
Oh.
Also being pretty huge for further legitimizing kind of nerd shit in the public eye, something that's bankable, easily the biggest of the Marvel movies until the new Avengers comes out in a couple of weeks, I'm sure. Notable for all of that, and of course all the movies preceding it, leading up and building up those characters to the Avengers storyline. I'm going to throw it over to Jackie, let her say a couple of things really quick.
Okay, the first time I saw this movie, my friends and I were so eager to see this. We left a play that I was directing during setup. I and, like, my three main actors. Which you should not do, but we did it anyway, because I was the director and I could decide what we did. We were really looking forward to this just because of the build-up of each character, and this was the first movie where they were going to kind of collide, and I wanted to know if they could share the screen time evenly, and I think they did that very well.
Cool. Now, when you say you left a show you were directing, was it for the midnight premiere? Or just to go see it, like, whatever?
It was to go see it, like, the day it came out. We didn't go to the midnight premiere because I am young and we were in high school.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
Wow, you're that young?
Yeah. I am only 21, so.
I'm almost twice your age.
Hey, you don't look it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Last time it was Alex got buttered up. This time it's going to be Dan Swartout.
All right, for a treat, Dan.
Yeah. So, knowing how well this movie did, how big this movie, like, everyone and their dog saw this movie.
It was huge.
It was a massive movie. Insane. Let me pull it up really quick. It made $1.518 billion against a budget of $220 million.
How much domestic?
Domestic. Let's take a
good
look.
Good question.
Dan Swartout wants to know those numbers.
Because I remember it was a tremendous smash hit. I mean, when it ended its run, it was up there with, you know, I think it passed. Didn't it pass Dark Knight as far as domestic box office?
It did. $623.4 million in North America. And 95.2 everywhere else.
Wow.
The third highest grossing film worldwide and the highest grossing of that year.
That's so weird.
And yeah, definitely surpassing Dark Knight. A lot of money. Everyone saw it, but somehow you guys didn't. So, Alex, how have you not seen this?
Well, as we know from my ongoing saga, I was way behind. And I was like, I'm going to catch up, and I'll go see it with you guys. And then I just never did.
What were you way behind in? Or just in
all
movies?
The,
or
all
life?
The,
or?
Yeah, well, both. Little calm A, little calm B. I hadn't seen any of the other ones, and then the other Marvel movies, and then my friends were like, let's go see it. I was like, I'm not ready. And then I just never got ready. And here we are.
Yeah, I was there midnight with four other comedians. We were there. We were very excited about it. Andy Latrell, how have you not seen this?
I really just didn't want to. And it kind of surprises me that it was as popular as it was, because I just shielded myself off from the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, I sort of have vague memories that it was coming out, and I thought, well, surely I'm not seeing this. until I'm going to be forced to see it for a podcast in the future. So, yeah, that's my story.
Okay. And you kind of, we talked about this when you did Iron Man.
Right.
Because you, like, going into this, Alex has seen everything leading up to this, with the exception of Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk. Everything else he saw for the first time leading up to this. And then you've seen Iron Man, and then saw Iron Man, but aside from that, you're going in largely blind.
Yeah, which was really hard, I think.
Okay, cool. We'll get to that here in a minute. Dan, how have you not seen this?
Well, I had never seen... I had seen Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
But I hadn't seen any of the sequels, and I had not seen the Hulk movie or the Thor movie Or what was
Captain America was the other
one. What, Scarlett Johansson, was she in a movie?
She was introduced in Iron Man 2.
Okay, so I didn't have any idea who she was. Mm-hmm. And a funny story, I actually, when this was on Netflix, this was in my Netflix queue because I knew it was a movie I should see if for no other reason than to converse with people about such a popular movie.
Yeah.
But I remember specifically, I had one evening and I made a conscious decision. I had two choices because it was in my Netflix queue. I was about to watch it, and then the principal of Jim Belushi came on TV. And I decided to watch The Principal again instead. And it just slipped off into the ether of my queue, and I never ended up watching it. But I did see The Principal with Jim Belushi, and he kicked some ass in that movie,
That's what we're here as the baseball batter, that, right? I always get that confused with The Substitute.
No, yeah, this is the one when he's got Lou Gossett Jr., and he goes in there, and it's a really good movie.
You did say Jim Belushi.
The lesser Belushi.
Perhaps James? Would James that have made it? Yes.
No, I'll just making sure.
I remember that sticks in my mind is that evening I almost watched The Avengers. But the principal, I wouldn't be on the podcast if not for the super team of Belushi, which, I mean, they kind of assembled in their own right. Gossett, Belushi, assemble. Yeah.
Belushi, star of such hits as K-9. And 2 minutes of Jingle All the Way.
Curly Sue. Was he in Curly Sue?
Yes, he was. Okay. That was Jim Belushi.
Okay, great.
Yeah, because for some reason I used to get Curly Sue and Dutch confused.
That's right, because I was just thinking movies. Ed O'Neill in my head. I almost thought Ed O'Neill in my head.
Well, Dad and I were having a conversation no one else knows what's going on here.
How have we seen these?
I understood the words Jim and Belushi.
I followed that conversation about as well as I followed the movie.
Okay, all right. So we mentioned, Dan and Andy kind of go into this largely blind. So let's answer some of the pressing questions you had.
What was it about?
Oh, Andy Luttrell asleep at the wheel, gang.
I had a real hard time figuring out exactly what the story was.
Okay, so there's this blue cube that has all of the energy that you could ever want or need.
Was the blue cube introduced in a previous movie?
Yes.
Which one?
Captain America.
Yeah.
So, because my question about the blue cube is, how did the aliens call the blue cube the same thing that the people who found it in the water called it? Did the cube tell you its name? That's what I was wondering about the blue cube. How did everyone know what it was called?
There are some silly things.
Oh, but the cube...
But yeah, that's what it was. Part of it is like, I think out of all the comic book movies that have been made, the Avengers, more than any of them, fully embraces that it's a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Which allows for some of those kind of gaps in logic and some of those very, very silly lines that are supposed to be serious. I'm punching out, boss. Not an option.
Well, I never thought so much gaps in logic. I just assumed it was something I did not know.
No, and that,
I assumed, Iron Man 3, the cube was introduced and everyone said,
Iron Man 3
cube.
Is after this one.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Iron Man 3 was the first post-Avengers one. Captain America was the last one right before.
Were any of the Avengers in Iron Man 3?
Bruce Banner pops up very briefly.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, I think part of, from what I was understanding, I think you guys might have been reading too much into it. Because it's relatively straightforward, and I think the second you go looking for a whole lot of sense behind the magic of... Because there's a lot of things I don't know, how can Thor get stabbed? Things like that, even though he's a demigod or whatever.
I think maybe, and that's a good point that you make, Dustin, about maybe reading more into it, because really, the last superhero movie I saw was The Dark Knight. And I think there was a lot to read into that.
Certainly.
And maybe I was thinking that kind of in the same vein, that what are the deeper themes I should be trying to pick up from this?
Yeah, and I think to an extent they're there. I think in terms of story, this movie's very upfront about what it is. It's just, hey, this bad guy took this thing and they have to get it back. Yeah. And, they're going to blow up New York in the process.
Was Loki introduced in a previous movie?
Loki was introduced in Thor, yes.
I had no idea what that was about.
Because I didn't know why he hated Earth so much.
He was so mad.
To catch up to speed really quick, so Loki is Thor's adopted brother.
Okay.
Right.
From the realm of Asgard, which is where all the Norse inspired gods live and all that.
Cool.
And essentially, he felt like he should have been the king instead of his brother. And then Thor, of course, beat him and overthrew his plan to destroy her the last time. And he's like, oh, well, now I need to get revenge for the time I did a shitty thing.
I see. So he's almost like, it's almost like a similar to the plot of Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. Well, now I'm with you. Loki is
kind of the Simon Gruber.
Okay, got it,
yes.
Got it, got it.
I don't know why I didn't just say that right after
the Yeah, now I'm totally with you.
Yeah. And then, like, Iron Man 2 was, like, Die Hard 2, Die Harder.
Okay,
so,
excellent.
It doesn't really affect a whole lot, but there's kind of some carryover in the future.
Now, in all of the characters' movies,
mm-hmm.
did they all do an origin story? Like, the Captain
yes.
America had an origin story? And
yeah.
There were multiple Hulk movies before they finally settled
yeah,
on the
there,
one with...
There were two. There was The Hulk, which was directed by Ang Lee, and that was the one that starred Eric Bana as Bruce Banner in The Hulk. Which was terrible, and then the second one was made with Edward Norton. That was made in line with these films and building this story, and he declined it because he didn't want to keep playing that character.
So this was Mark Ruffalo's first time as the
Hulk.
Yes. Well, he's just a fantastic actor.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
He's so great in everything.
I read the other day that the director for the Hulk that had Ed Norton in it,
yeah,
actually wanted Mark Ruffalo originally, and they're like, no, let's get this guy. People know this guy.
Yeah, and Ed Norton's not bad in the Hulk.
No, he's not.
But Mark Ruffalo is just a phenomenal actor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and definitely, I think, a better choice for that role.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other pressing questions?
So, yeah. Was it just an excuse for lots of fighting? That is basically...
To an extent, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That final battle, I love this movie. That final battle looks like Transformers, to an extent. And I definitely, like, of all the fight scenes in the movie, that's probably my least favorite of it, just because
mm-hmm.
it's just unbridled chaos and just, like,
yeah.
disaster porn, essentially.
Yeah, that's exactly what my reaction to it was, is that's what it felt like.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is a Roland Emmerich film. Like, this is 2012 or whatever else, or Independence Day when the ships just start going off. It's just wholesale slaughter of innocents.
Mm-hmm.
I kept likening it to the fight scene in Superman 2.
Yeah.
That's what I kept thinking about, so I just kept making the comparisons in my head between the big fight scene over Metropolis
yeah,
in Superman 2.
The Phantom Zone
in this one, and even, you know, I thought there were some parallels as well with the, you know, the civilians.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't so overt as in Superman 2, where they're like, that's his weakness, target the civilians.
Exactly.
But, you know, I just, I thought that was interesting, and I couldn't help in my mind while watching it compare the two and think about which one I enjoyed better.
Okay.
Which was probably Superman 2.
That's fair. Well, there's Superman 2, the fights are a lot easier to follow because it was, what, 82?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was, because
Well, also,
7 characters to fall.
That's true.
Yeah. And also, how great is Terrence Stamp in Superman 2?
Again, with the kneeling, too. That
yeah.
just kept calling me back to Superman
yeah,
2. Which
Loki parallels.
I really love Superman 2.
It's the best of any of the Superman movies that have been made. 2 is the one that holds up the best.
Yeah, I love it. I own the Donner cut on DVD, and it's just fantastic.
Hmm.
The Donner cut omit the him pulling his shield off his chest and throwing it?
I can't.
Because that's the I'm punching out. That's not an option. Of
yeah, I do remember.
Oh, I guess the S on his chest is a Jell-O shield now or something. Oh, Superman 3. Oh, I guess Superman is fighting an evil version of himself in a junkyard, but it's in his head, but he's still fucking stuff up. I don't know.
Hey, and hey, what about Nuclear Man?
Oh my god.
But I enjoyed the movie Avengers more as it went on.
Yeah.
I think the first half I'm just trying to figure out.
Yeah, and I definitely understand
who
that.
All these people are and what their connection is. Like, I didn't know I even asked you during the movie, what is S.H.I.E.L.D.? Who are they affiliated with? And could you kind of go more in depth as to who they are?
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. Is the government organization that operates above the other government organizations, essentially.
So it's like an international, kind of like a, almost a United Nations type of thing? Because that council seemed to have
an
international flavor.
Yeah, it's definitely more worldwide.
Poorly lit offices.
Yeah. For whatever reason, Powers Booth didn't want you to see his face.
That was Powers Booth?
That was Powers Booth, yeah.
At first, I thought it was Martin Landau.
I could see that.
At the very, very beginning when it was very dimly lit.
But yeah, watching it this time, I was like, I only know that that's Powers Booth because I love Deadwood and Tombstone so much. Like, anyone else watching this, even if they know who Powers Booth is, they're just like, oh, it's just some sinister dude who's just very badly lit.
Go see the original Jim Jones miniseries. And
yeah.
I think he plays Jim Jones in the original... Okay. Miniseries. It's the Jim Jones Guyanisberg.
Yeah,
and he's really good.
He's a hell of an actor.
Yes, he
unfortunately has not popped up in any of the Marvel movies since this one, which is weird.
There were some pretty cool cameos. Like I took notes a few times because people would pop up. I liked Harry Dean Stanton.
Yes,
that was great.
Guard.
I liked the old German guy who refused to kneel. Took me a second to place him. He was the teacher from Just One of the Guys.
Okay,
so I thought that was really cool. And the cop who kind of led all the cops was one of the prison guards on Oz. He was McManus's best friend.
Cool.
So I was like, I know all these guys.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get more involved in the movie.
It's a shame you weren't here for Iron Man 2 because there's a pretty great Gary Shandling cameo.
Oh, get out! Are you kidding me?
I am not.
Is that on Netflix?
It is not.
Okay.
He pops up in Captain America 2 as well.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah. It is not. They were all on Netflix at one point.
Right.
They just took them out recently.
Yeah.
But,
did they move into a different service? Or?
They were checking out. What's that?
Did they move into, like, a different service?
They just took them off. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they tossed them over to Hulu or what. Mm-hmm. Bonehead move on their part. Because I actually, when I started planning these, the idea was like, oh, these are all on Netflix. And I was like, oh, no, they're not. Cool.
Now, what is the, you know, the guy at the end? The guy at the end that apparently we watched at the end because I got up and stretched a couple times. You're like, wait, there's more.
Yeah.
Who's that dude? Like the red face guy? Was it orange face or red face?
It's not Hellboy because it looks kind of like
Man. I wish that if it had been Hellboy, I would have made everyone I know watch the movie long ago. You put Hellboy into a Marvel movie, and I will give you triple the money I was going to give you.
Isn't that Ron Perlman?
Yes.
Hellboy?
He
right
was
on.
Fucking wonderful in those movies. That's Thanos, and he is essentially this, one of the bigger villains that lives in space, and I'm doing a shitty job of explaining him. Jackie, did you help me out here?
I don't know. You covered big villain lives in space. That was a lot of things.
Those are the big things. Thanos
wants to take over all of space.
Yeah, he's just big, basically space version of all the villains we've seen so far, essentially. And on a grander scale, because he's bigger and more sinister and all that. And they haven't delved into him a whole lot yet. Like, they touch on him a little in Guardians of the Galaxy, but the Marvel movies are essentially building up to a storyline called The Infinity Wars, and that's where he comes into play. So they're setting it up for that story.
I'm assuming those wars never end.
They do. It's a very misleading name.
Okay.
equally as misleading as Marvel's The Secret Wars, which we all know about.
Now, here's a question I have, because I am a fan of superhero movies, but I've pretty much limited my consumption to the ones that I was a big fan of as a kid.
Okay.
So, I mean, I saw, you know, all the Batman movies, all the Spider-Man movies, Superman, and none of these characters when I was growing up were what I would call
household names.
Yeah, they weren't gigantically big characters when I was a kid. I mean, I knew who they were because I read the comic book, so I knew there was a Captain America, and I knew there was an Iron Man, and I remember a Captain America TV show that I liked when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Spider-Man in all this?
The thing with Spider-Man is,
because he's the biggest.
He is.
He's the king
of
Marvel.
And Sony owns the rights to him.
Oh.
Why, it's just why he's not been any of the Marvel films yet, but they recently had some kind of a merger, and there's speculation that he's going to somehow be incorporated briefly in a cameo in this newest Avengers
so
coming
out. He'd be the guy at the end that everyone goes nuts for this time.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
But yeah, the idea, they're finally being like, oh, we've been dumb for the last 12 years. We should incorporate one of the biggest selling characters into one of the biggest money-making franchises of history.
I'd be curious to see, because I think they've set up... Iron Man, I think when it came out in 2008, May of 2008,
It was 2008.
And I saw
and
that,
Hulk. Those were both the same summer.
I saw that in the theater,
mm-hmm.
and it was a gigantic hit.
Yeah.
Like over $300 million.
Absolutely.
A bit of a surprise, because it was a lesser-known character.
Precisely.
They've clearly, I think, established him as like the
flagship character
of the
exactly.
Avengers.
Yeah.
You throw in Spider-Man in there, how's that going to work out? I think that's going back to what your point was, Jackie. I'd be interested to go back and see Avengers 2. What's the next one called?
Yeah, yeah. Avengers Age of Ultron is the next one.
Oof. That one? It's to see like how Spider-Man would interplay.
Yeah.
Just like saying what you said at the beginning, Jackie, that would be very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting a little worried as it goes on about overcrowding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's very, very true as well. They're introducing three new characters in this next Avengers. They're introducing Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, and Vision. And that's the thing. Like, normal people who aren't like as big into the comic books, they're going to start losing those, like, okay, how many Avengers are there? And they're going to start losing track, because you typically don't do gigantic ensemble casts like that with a movie anymore, and they're going to lose track. And obviously, nerds are going to see these movies, but there's also obviously been a mainstream appeal in them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I have a question.
Yeah.
Who was the bow and arrow guy?
That is Hawkeye.
Yes.
Okay.
I've heard of that dude.
Clint Barton.
The
he's
whole
really
time.
Good at, he's really good at shooting arrows.
Sure.
There was a Hawkeye comic book,
yeah,
correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which movie was he introduced in?
He was introduced in Thor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very briefly.
Gotcha.
In the comic book, he was very purple.
Yes.
Very purple.
He was introduced so briefly in Thor that the first time I saw it in theaters, I did not realize that it was Hawkeye being introduced.
Okay.
Because, like, the bow and arrow was completely lost, and I was like, oh, there's that dude. Oh, there's Thor beating up a guy. That dude's gone again. And then the second I was like, oh shit, that was Hawkeye. The first time.
It just seemed like he just sort of was around the whole time.
Yeah, he definitely...
With no reason to know why he's important.
Out of all the Avengers, he definitely gets the least amount of any... Like, literally right out of the gate, we meet him, and then it's like, hey, you're going to go be a flunky for the villain before we even know who you are
exactly.
for the whole movie.
Yeah.
What turned him back? Was it just sweet talk?
Cognitive recalibration is what she tells him. It's literally the getting the bump on the head and your amnesia is cured, essentially.
Okay.
Which, again, is another one of those huge kind of leaps in logic. It's like, oh yeah, all I had to do was give you a concussion and now you're in control again.
Was Scarlett Johansson's character in the comic books?
Yes, Black Widow.
Black Widow, yeah.
Yeah, all the characters that have been introduced have been in the comics in varying degrees.
So she had her own title? It was her series?
She's had some, yeah.
Okay.
She prominently featured, initially early on, I want to say, she popped up in the Daredevil comics a lot.
Okay.
As the occasional partner / nemesis, and then like love interest at one point for Daredevil, and then became involved with S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
I have a question about the Hulk.
Yeah.
And when I said earlier that these were some of the lesser, the Hulk is obviously, I think, an exception.
Certainly.
As the Hulk has been a huge figure in popular culture for many, many years.
And the only one of them with a successful TV series, too.
That I watched.
Yeah.
Well, no, I actually had to make a decision every Friday night. Is it this week Different Strokes, or is it this week The Incredible Hulk? I had to literally make that decision. I'd look in the TV guide and see if one was a rerun, and that would make my determination.
Make the call on whether or not you're going to spend the night with Bill Bixby.
It's a good thing both shows were so similar to each other. Probably wasn't that hard to make a decision.
Well, it's, you know...
He it seemed like at the beginning, the first half of the movie, the Hulk could not control his rage, and that's why everyone was scared.
Yes.
But then at the second half of the movie, the Hulk could completely funnel and channel his rage towards fighting the bad guys.
See, I think it was literally, in this movie, it was that one moment, when he turns into the Hulk on the ship. And, I mean, they were completely ambushed out of nowhere. And I feel like that's the moment where any of us would, you know, maybe lose control for a second.
Okay.
Because, like, even early on when Black Widow first goes to him and he slams the table and yells at her, he even says, like, oh, that was mean. I was just testing you. Like, he was clearly in control of that situation.
Sure. And it seems like he's always in control with that line he said, I'm always angry.
Yes, yeah. And
that was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of my... that line got said a lot after I saw that movie.
I can see that.
I relate to the big guy.
But the thing that confused me was the first time he had no... He was trying to hurt the person that was, like, friends, right? And then later he was totally in control and wasn't... Because remember the first time he became...
Yeah, when he chased after Black Widow.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's because part of it initially, like, he was angry at her specifically because, like, she's literally the one that brought him on the ship. And then, like, I think it's the difference between going into a fight in a focused and controlled state as opposed to going in just seeing red.
Sure.
Yeah, and if you notice, he calls him the other guy. So it's not really always him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's another guy trying to take control, but...
And then, like, sometimes, you know, like, even, like, when he wakes up in that warehouse, he's like, I didn't hurt anybody, did I?
Yeah.
Jackie, you were about to say something.
I was just going to throw in the fact when he's changing, Black Widow's trapped, she tells him, like, I swear upon my life that you'll be okay. That would obviously piss him off because he doesn't want to kill anyone. So that's the two words he repeats back at her are, like, your life.
Yeah.
So he's probably really pissed at her, and that leads to him losing control on her.
Okay.
Yeah, having that dope-ass fight with Thor.
Yeah.
What's Thor's origin? Because I'm going to be honest, my most familiarity with the Thor character is from the movie Adventures in Babysitting. That is pretty much the extent of my knowledge of Thor.
Thor as played by Vincent D'Onofrio?
Well, yes. I mean, it pretends to be Thor at the end for the little girl. Great movie, by the way.
Yeah, I love that movie. I just saw that recently.
Thing, yes.
And that's a very good one. Thor, a lot of that character is tied to Norse mythology.
Sure,
obviously,
sure.
They take liberties with that in comic books
yes.
to great lengths. Essentially, there's a bridge that serves as a channel between his realm of Asgard, and Earth is referred to as Midgard from where they're from, and he is exiled to Earth initially because he's just impulsive and he's not fit to rule Asgard, so it's like, hey, I'm going to send you to Earth to learn a lesson on how to be a not shitty person.
I see.
And then he does that, and then returns, and then in the process they destroy the bridge that serves as a waypoint to the other worlds, and that's why it takes such ever, like, that's why it's halfway, like, well, like a third of the way through the movie before he even shows up. But that's not some, like, very basic Thor's origin.
Cool.
Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he
it's
initially.
Unclear for almost the whole movie to me.
and that's it, like, initially he shows up adversarial because he thinks that Loki should face their justice as opposed to Earth's justice.
Never would I have thought that Adventures in Babysitting would have prepared me for this podcast, but I knew that Thor was a good guy. Because the little girl wouldn't have idolized a bad guy. That was clearly the only reason I knew for certain. And from the trailers and remembering the commercials and Thor being, you know, teaming up with them. Mm-hmm. The gentleman, the actor that plays Captain America, what else has he been
Chris
in?
Chris Evans. He's been in these. Scott Pilgrim. He was Human Torch in the Fantastic Four movies. He was in Perfect Score with Scarlett Johansson, actually.
He was really good,
I thought. He's phenomenal.
I thought he was excellent. I thought overall the acting was
The cast is solid.
Pretty good.
His first high-profile role was Not Another Teen movie.
Oh, wow, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And
yeah.
I have gone on record saying many times what a huge Chris Evans fan I am, and I have been down with Chris Evans from the start, from Not Another Teen Movie. And I will say it again. I will not apologize for recognizing greatness and jumping on that train from day one.
Samuel L. Jackson's character,
Fury.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's his origin? Is he from the comics?
Yes, yeah.
Did he get put in charge of the
S.H.I.E.L.D.? Nick Fury essentially founds S.H.I.E.L.D. After a long time, like, being a soldier.
Okay.
He starts out in the military. There's actually, like, in the comics, there's some overlap with him and the Punisher storylines as well, because the Punisher was a Vietnam veteran, so they cross paths occasionally, even before they become the people that they are in the present. And then from there, he went into espionage, and then from there, formed S.H.I.E.L.D.
But no superpowers.
No superpowers,
okay.
No.
Except being a big old badass.
Yeah. Except just shooting a rocket launcher more casually than anyone's ever shot a rocket launcher before.
Gotta shoot this...
Oh, this
rocket
this
launcher
jet.
Now, how does this tie in? Because Guardians of the Galaxy was a huge, huge movie this last year.
Yeah.
Now, this is in the same universe?
Yes.
Is there a chance their paths could cross at some point?
It's very likely. Actually, in the reboot of the comic books, they threw in Iron Man with them initially because they knew that they were making the Guardians movie. And they're like, oh, we should probably throw in another like popular character now to kind of drum up numbers for the comics as well. So like, there wasn't any direct overlap in Guardians yet, but it's definitely going to build towards it. Any other questions?
I think my questions have all been answered in a satisfactory manner.
Good.
Yeah, cool. I still am just... Here's one problem I have with it.
Oh, please tell me.
The mad guy, the guy with the horns and the spear with the light in it.
I just want to see Andy Latrell go into this and just write down the cast names.
I can think of the names of each person.
Yeah.
But the thing that turned me off is he was too power hungry. Mm-hmm. Who I don't want to rule the world. Does anyone really want that? And that seemed to be his
Tears
driving
for Fears
motivation.
Would disagree with you, my friend.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm going to elaborate. They have insisted on many occasions that everybody wants to rule the world.
He's a big head.
It's not so much... I don't think really that he really wanted to rule the world. I think that was just like his audition with those the guy with the shredder mask.
The Chitauri.
He's like, yeah, we're going to give you some dudes, go over, take this planet over, and then, you know, we'll talk. Whatever. We can have more dudes.
So it was kind of like the voice for supervillains.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty much.
All right, you got to go out there. You got to do Tears for Fears. You better not go.
You know, Luttrell's not turning around for that one.
No.
For Tears for Fears.
Oh, sorry about that.
Great song. Check it out.
I'll look that one up. Is it anything like my Frankie Sinatra?
I would argue that it's better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I lost what I was going to say. Oh, so yeah, I definitely think there's some truth to what you're saying with Loki being power hungry. We talked about this before about how Loki's actually one of the only sympathetic villains so far in the Marvel Universe.
What was sympathetic about it?
You don't get that in this movie, is the thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Like in the Thor movies, like you genuinely like see him caring for people, and you see like how he kind of does like live in the shadow.
He's an enlightened
of his brother.
Despot, in those other ones.
Yeah, exactly. And in this one, like it's very much just him like going both barrels on just like let's see how over the top we can take this.
Yeah, because if you don't know that backstory, he just looks like a purely
precisely.
Bad person.
And even knowing that backstory, like watching this again, this is probably my fifth time watching this. I think. Like knowing that much, and it was like, oh yeah, he's not super sympathetic in this one. Uh-huh. But it was like, I just stabbed out a dude's eye, and I'm gonna kill this old man.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen it, Jackie?
I was just thinking that as soon as you said that. I don't have a definite number, but like too many.
Yeah,
more than five, would you say?
Five or more than five, maybe. Every time it's like we have the DVD there or it's on Netflix, it's just playing.
Wow.
And that's a lot of watching.
Because I was thinking, this is a movie that if it's like on TV in the summer at like 3 o'clock on a Wednesday, yeah, I'll keep it on. And I'll sit back and let it happen to me. But I don't think I'd ever
you
turn it on.
You describe your
movie
viewing experience the way people describe going to the dentist. I'll just let it
happen.
Whatever.
I'll knock me out. But yeah, I do. That was kind of my approach. I don't know that I would ever willingly watch it again.
Okay, that's fair. And we've talked about this too. Like we know that you definitely cut on movies. Yeah.
What is your particular genre that you most enjoy?
Yeah, so I like small, few character dramas. Probably is like an ideal.
Okay.
And so when things get too epic or too crazy, or this just seemed like the effects were great. They were so good. But it just seemed like that was the reason for the movie to exist, was to be like choreography and effects. Whereas I want like three people, and then I want to see what happens to them over like 30 hours, and then let's get out of it. That's the movie.
So you,
So where do you stand on Turner and Hooch then?
We've talked about the both now of the great dog cop movies of the late 80s.
Yep. All two of them.
All two of them. They've both been mentioned.
Although Turner and Hooch was the real one. K-9 was the pretender to the throne.
Turner and Hooch is probably, in hindsight, the better film.
Definitely.
However, if you would have talked to Dan Swartout in 1990, I would have definitely seen both sides of that argument.
Oh, man. K-9 doesn't have Craig T. Nelson as the villain.
Oh, Craig T. Nelson's great and everything. I'd love to see Craig T. Nelson in the Avengers. Could we bring the Incredibles and mix them with the Avengers? They're both Disney. That was Disney, right?
Yeah, it is.
The Incredibles is Disney, right?
Yep, you got that right. Pixar.
Boom, Hollywood. Hollywood, here I am.
Hollywood, Dan Swartout's on the line. Good idea. Also, he's still waiting on that Head of the Class reboot.
Well, dude, the guy that played the big guy from Head of the Class,
mm-hmm.
he's probably richer than anyone that has anything to do with the Avengers, maybe, because he's created all those teen, all those Nickelodeon shows, all those kids shows. Oh, what was his name? Arvid Ingen's best friend. This is completely lost on all of you. I'm so sorry. But he just got me thinking. Dennis Blundin, the guy who played Dennis Blundin.
Dennis Blundin?
He's the guy that created, like, I think, Good Burger and all those things. He's like the he's the tycoon of teen.
Kel Mitchell?
I'm looking this up. Oh, yeah, this is him, right?
Yes, Dan Schneider. Dennis Blundin.
Was Dan Schneider the actor or the character?
Dennis Blundin was the character.
Okay, Dan Schneider was... Okay.
Dan Schneider gave life to Dennis Blundin.
Breathed it in.
What about you, Alex? What are some of your favorite types of movies?
Oh, I like all kinds of... I like more... I don't know, like...
Is this in your wheelhouse?
These are movies that I enjoy just because it's, you know, things, you know... It's got the nostalgia effect... I do sometimes have problems with them trying to make things that were I was a fan of as a child too cool, which is why I have not and refuse to this day see the X-Men movies because they were like, oh, we can't use blue and yellow spandex, let's put them in leather.
Yeah, we were told we were going to fix that.
Yeah. We'll find out about that one.
So threatening when you say it.
The X-Men and the Fantastic Four are both Marvel, correct?
Yes, yeah. And they're both owned by Fox.
It's kind of a similar deal, right? With the, I mean, they've got kind of a similar thing going on, the X-Men and the Fantastic Four.
They were in a science accident.
Oh, all together.
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
But they're both like ensemble superheroes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. X-Men, the origin is genetic mutation, but like at the end of the day, it's like all the movies are about them. Like the first Fantastic Four movie is just an hour and a half of them realizing that they have to work as a team, and then 10 minutes of working as a team. It's not very good.
Isn't that kind of what this was?
Yes, very much so. But this is not terrible.
But there was lightning in this one.
And you actually, like, these characters are actually enjoyable, and like all the actors, I feel like, really bring the nature of what these characters are. Whereas Fantastic Four, with the exception of Chris Evans as Human Torch, was just very bland, and it's just really hard to get into any of the other characters that weren't him.
Did you ever see the episode of The Office where they merged the two branches?
Yes.
They had the Stanford and the Scranton branch merged, and they didn't get along, and then Michael did the trick with deflating their tires and the hate note. You guys will never work together as a team to come back and avenge us.
Yes.
That's kind of what I felt like watching Samuel L. Jackson's speech. And then with the cards afterwards.
Where did you get that blood? Did you just walk by a dead dude? He
ran back, grabbed him from Colson's locker, and just all like, oh, no one's looking. Again, I love this movie, but every time they do the cards thing, like, yeah, it gets more and more cringeworthy for me.
Was Captain America I'm a little confused on his origin. Like, he was a famous soldier who got frozen, but everyone knew who he was years ago.
Yes.
So that's why they had, like, cards of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they like, gave him the super soldier serum, and then they're like, well, we don't have any more super soldier serum. can't make more of him. Let's make him sell guns?
No, yeah. It was war bonds.
War bonds.
Yeah, because before like he actually finally got into active combat, he was used as a political tool and was used like to do like touring shows to like towns to get people to buy war bonds and stuff. So he became the face of that. And then he's like, I can like punch trees down. I should be fighting Nazis.
What happened to Captain Marvel? Now he's a Marvel guy, right?
Captain Marvel is DC. Well,
Captain
there
Marvel
are two
got
Captain
turned
Marvels.
Into Shazam.
There are two Captain Marvels.
And then there's Miss Marvel who got promoted to Captain Marvel. I think that there was originally a guy who was also Captain Marvel.
Is the namesake of the comic book label or brand Marvel, is Captain Marvel the namesake for that, or is that just coincidental?
It's coincidental.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if they named the label after him, where's the movie?
Yeah, where's that movie?
It's not hugely coincidental, actually. They, like, DC had the Captain Marvel character, but Marvel was called Marvel. So Marvel's like, hey, we need to do something about that. So they made a character named Captain Marvel and then filed a lawsuit, and they got the rights to that name, so they had to name their guy Shazam. But for the most part, they don't really... It's not... Because of that, but it is, but it's not.
Okay.
Can I didn't understand the trading cards scene.
Okay.
And it was in a locker, not in a pants pocket.
The idea was basically Nick Fury was trying to convince them that Coulson believed so much in them that he had those cards on him all the time, and he died believing in Captain America and all of them. And it's like, oh no, he went and stole those cards and then like got it up to look like that, which it's very unnecessary.
Okay.
Like none of them were like, oh, Agent Coulson, who has been built up in all of the movies leading up to this, none of them were just like, oh, this guy who's been around us literally from the beginning.
So he's been in multiple movies?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So his death was kind of a surprise?
Yes, very much so.
Like Apollo dying in
Rocky IV.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's my go-to for any surprising death.
It's a pretty solid.
Yeah.
Solid
spoiler alert.
Point.
By the way.
Spoiler alert on a 30-year-old movie.
Listen, I haven't seen it yet. Hey.
You haven't seen Rocky IV?
I haven't seen any of the Rockies. Well, I saw the Rocky Balboa. Is that
the most recent one?
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, that one's actually supposed to be pretty good.
I love it.
It's the only one that I haven't seen.
I love it.
I was going through it in my head. I think I've only seen the one with Mr. T.
That's Rocky 2. No, that's three. Because 2 is the rematch.
Yeah, 2 is the rematch.
Yeah.
They're all so good.
And then 4 is 2-hour-long Cold War metaphor.
Yeah.
Yes.
With a robot.
5's not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the Polly.
that one's
happy
still...
Happy birthday, Polly.
Robot's got artificial intelligence. How does a robot in 1985 that only a pro boxer knows have artificial intelligence? And why would you give it to Polly of all people? It makes me so angry. So I'm sorry.
Rocky Balboa just flooding his cash.
Yo, I think I'm gonna put this purse into artificial intelligence, Adrian.
There are a lot of very silly things about Rocky IV.
Well, this
I don't know that anything trumps the robot, though.
I would actually like to see a sequel to the Avengers that's not about the Avengers.
Oh, okay.
That's just about how people go back to their everyday lives after knowing that there's a giant hole in the sky that terrifying aliens come from at any given moment.
They get closer to that if you watch the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Is that canon?
Yeah. Joss Whedon actually produces that one.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm going to start. Is that on Netflix?
The first season
The first season's on Netflix. The rest of it is on Hulu.
Yeah.
They also have Daredevil kind of touches on it, and that just came out. That's also on Netflix.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right on. My questions are being answered. Clearly, I'm not the only
they're,
one.
They're producing, they're doing two other series too. They're doing Jessica Jones. And Luke Cage Power Man, which are also Netflix original series.
Yeah.
Those are coming out either later this year or early next year. And we got the Avengers right around the corner, and then Ant-Man coming out this summer as well.
Wow. I'm going to check all those out.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can hear Andy Littrell's eyes rolling. The guy who was underwhelmed by Jaws.
I haven't forgotten, Andy.
It was fine.
Dance word out just threw some serious shade, listeners at home. It's maybe the angriest I've ever seen Dan look at another person.
Was that covered on a previous podcast?
It was the third episode we did.
I've got to go back and listen to that.
Me and Danny Stratton guest hosted, and Andy was our guest who had never seen Jaws.
I know this is a little off topic. What's the most surprising reaction you've ever had to a movie while doing this podcast from someone who's never seen it?
Jaws?
Would it be that Jaws one right there?
Jaws is a pretty big one. I'm trying to think.
I know we're getting a bit meta here.
No, talking about
how have you not seen this on How Have You Not Seen This.
And talk about this episode.
Yeah. I was actually about to say, Avengers is also kind of up there.
About 20 minutes ago.
I would say Avengers, Jaws, there's a few others. Die Hard. I had two people that had never seen the first Die Hard movie.
And did they not like it?
They loved it.
Okay.
One of them was Lisa Barry, who I ended up doing the first four movies with, and she loved it. Well, not four so much, but the first three, really good.
I think it's an interesting... I was actually thinking about Die Hard a little bit while watching The Avengers, because... And multiple times, for those of you at home who didn't watch the film with us, a few times, at least two or three times, I turned to... Dustin and said, does this person have superpowers? That person doesn't have superpowers? I was almost incredulous. And it kind of, I thought about Die Hard, the transition of the John McClane character as just a regular guy with a cop.
Yeah.
Just a regular guy who's a cop in the first episode the first film to like at the end where he could be Hawkman. You know, and just seeing these people who might as well be superheroes.
Yeah, well, and the fourth and fifth one, he is that. It's insane.
I thought about that, because, I mean, I literally... One time Scarlett Johansson did something, and I...
She jumped off the little jet wing thingy and, like, dropped 30 feet and then tumbled and rolled, hit a wall, and was like... Shook it off and got right back up.
And I'm like,
that was exactly
a giant pipe laying on her leg, and then she's like, I'm going to run. Whatever.
So I did think about John McClane and how the transition of his character went, and how the John McClane of Die Hard, the fifth one, could fit right in with the Avengers.
Yeah.
He could assemble with them. It could be, you know, the Hulk and John McClane.
Oh, man.
And then maybe we could bring in Reginald Vell Johnson as well as the guy that... Make him the new leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. Hollywood! I got this! He's out getting Twinkies, he's the new leader of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hey, how'd you get to be the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I shot a kid. It was dark. Couldn't see. Thought it was working with Hydra or somebody else.
Oh, that's funny. Overall, I enjoyed this movie. I'm glad I watched it. I was a little iffy for about the first 20 minutes or so, but then when I just kind of started figuring out all the intermittent parts, I enjoyed it. I'll see the next one.
Cool.
Maybe not in the theater, but I'll see it.
I was thinking, so when it started, the obvious comparison was Iron Man, since I saw that.
Yes, that's
the
one you've seen out of him.
And it started, and I was like, oh, I think I'm going to like this one more than Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because it was all very slick, and all these crazy things were happening. But I'm definitely sure I liked Iron Man more now after having seen it.
I think Iron Man, out of any of them, probably does the best job of getting right to it and setting up the character. And I think in terms of runtime, it's still the tightest of the movies. Mm-hmm. The newest Captain America and Iron Man 3, I would say, are pretty close to that. But I still think... And maybe for me, it's partially just because it was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But like even as much as I wasn't into like that final fight in Iron Man, I still like on the whole, I think it's a very tight movie. It gets into everything. It sets it up so like for the most part, you don't really have any like questions by the end of it as far as what everything is.
And I think what I liked about it that there wasn't in Avengers was. In Iron Man, you see the development of a character. Like, Tony Stark changes from the beginning to the end, and you sort of, like, get why he started doing this thing and sort of the background and how it took him all these different places. And in Avengers, it was just like, oh, here's
you don't get those
a
arcs.
Bunch of people who can do crazy things, and then watch them do those things, and then goodbye.
I
sounded almost like a carnival barker talking about the Avengers.
Come on down!
I think Tony Stark is the only one that has like any kind of an arc in this one. It's not a very big one. Like, it's literally spelled out. Because Captain America makes a comment to him earlier. He's like, you're not the guy to make the sacrifice play to lay down on the wire so they can get through. And then that's literally what he does at the end of the movie. Which is the only real... Like, Captain America does the same thing he does throughout the movie. It's like him being in charge. Yeah. Like, he has one point where he doesn't blindly follow orders. But even then, that's like at the behest of everyone else kind of pushing him into it.
I have a question. Is I am a fan of superhero movies, but I'm more of a casual fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I like, you know, the original Superman movies. I saw the first remake.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the Spider-Man movies, the Batman movies. So I'm more of a casual fan.
Yeah.
Not hardcore, but a casual fan. Mm-hmm. As you both being like hardcore comic book movie fans, where would you rank this? Right. On the scale of comic book movies, how close is it to the top? Where would you put it against the best ones? And which do you think, if it's not the Avengers, is the best one or your favorite? Both of you, I'm curious to know that.
It definitely ranks in my top five, at least, I think. It might be the bottom of that for me. I personally would put Captain America 2 and Iron Man 3 over Avengers.
Wow.
They're really... Captain America 2 and Iron Man 3 are phenomenal. Captain America 2 is... like a straight political thriller with Captain America in the middle of it, essentially. And then Iron Man 3 is written and directed by Shane Black, who did like Last Boy Scout, Lethal Weapon, and I love everything Shane Black has done. So Iron Man 3 plays more of that for me. And then I love Batman Begins.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite of the Batman movies the more and more I think about it. And Blade 2 would be in the mix somewhere as well.
I'm kind of the same in terms of where to put the Avengers. I would say, like, top five, but, like, the fifth slot. I think the reason we can appreciate it like that is it's not a good movie in terms of, like, character arcs, but you need to look at the Marvel movies as in these are actually two-hour-long episodes of a series, and this is the, like, final, like, battle in this one series, and then we're going to season two, and... it's keeping moving. I just use series and season.
I did it earlier. That's cool.
You know what I mean? But the Iron Man movies are my favorites. Iron Man 3, probably above the other two. But definitely, so I mainly watch every movie for Tony Stark because I liked Iron Man before the movies.
Excellent.
I'm going to watch those other Iron Man movies. I like the first one enough that
I
watch
it. The Iron Man movies, I think, are definitely the best. And then, Captain. Again, I really, really like Captain America, too.
Yeah, that one's good.
Gonna say, coming from more of a casual fan, I'm a little surprised that Dark Knight wasn't in either of your top five. That's a little surprising. I'm gonna say
I go back to it a lot, and we did all three of the Christopher Nolan Batman movies for the podcast as well, and it's one of the ones like I've watched all of them several times, and like the more you watch them, like you still love them, but you start to see the cracks in them. And Batman Begins is the least flawed of them, and I think that's a large part of it for me. Because, like, The Dark Knight, like, the voice gets more over the top. And Heath Ledger is phenomenal. Heath Ledger and Aaron Eckhart are both amazing in that movie. But there are just so many, like, flawed holes in it. Like, when Batman jumps out a window to save Maggie Gyllenhaal. It's like, oh, you just abandoned the party where the Joker still is.
Yeah.
Those people are dead. Like, those people are all gone. And you never find out what happens. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, the Joker just left because he made you jump out a window, I guess. And then there's other things like the Joker's escape plan being... It's as unnecessarily complicated as the bad guy's plan in Die Hard 2. Where it's like, we're going to kidnap this general and it's entirely contingent on a blizzard happening at all. Which is a really stupid way to plan anything.
I never thought about it like that.
It is. I was very critical of it when we watched Die Hard 2 for the podcast. Like, I like this movie. It's the dumbest of the three that I like. And that's part of what Dark Knight is for me, is like there's those huge gaps in logic. And Dark Knight Rises, I like that movie, but oh man, is there some stupid shit that happens in that movie? And it's initially I was like, no, I really do like it, and then I kept going back. I was like, no, if this could have shaved 20 minutes off, this could have been such a better movie. So Batman Begins, of those three, I think is the best, and I think it's the truest to the character. And I think it does the best job of conveying what that character is about. Because, like, and again, in Dark Knight, he's like, I'm going to stop being Batman for a girl. Like, Spider-Man stops being Spider-Man every other week because he's a fucking high schooler, and it makes sense. Batman's parents died, and he spent years of his life training, and he's going to throw out a way to go after some Strange.
I haven't seen The Final Dark Knight yet.
Okay,
so.
It's worth watching, but it's definitely okay. It's the weakest of them.
But I saw that you're going in a direction where I didn't want you to go yet, because I'm going
gotcha.
To watch that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, definitely check it out. It's
okay.
It's worth seeing, and there are parts of it that are good. Like,
okay.
I really like Tom Hardy in it, despite like all the jokes about the Bane voice and everything. So there are elements
sounds
of it
like
that are worth watching.
Big dog cup.
Yeah. Doing the Mickey Mouse routine. Is there anything else that we want to hit on before we start wrapping it up?
I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm glad I watched this. I'm glad I watched it, and I'm glad I got a lot of background on the Marvel characters I didn't know as much about, because now I could feel like I could be more conversant, because this next movie's coming up. It's going to be gigantic.
Yeah,
it's going to be huge.
Absolutely.
It's going to be the talk of the nation for at least a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm already seeing all the promotional flyers at my local Subways.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to be conversant, and I feel like I have been. So thank you for introducing me to this film and giving me some background on these characters.
When does the new one come out?
May 1st.
Oh, so very soon.
Yeah, very soon.
So I got to start spreading the word that I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Get on it, Latrell. No, actually, I'll be in North Carolina when it comes out, so I'm going to try and convince a bunch of comedians at the festival I'm going to get a big entourage for midnight to go check it out.
I have a feeling it will be playing in North Carolina.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Dan, we'll start with you. Favorite moments, and we'll work our way around the table.
I think my favorite moment was just a tip of the hat to pop culture when they just were given the directions to all the Avengers of what
yeah.
they were to do, and they just turned to Hulk and said, Hulk smash.
Yeah,
I just like that
yeah,
really
yeah,
tip
yeah,
of the hat
great.
To pop culture and what a little comedy bit that has been over the years.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was kind of a wink to the audience.
Certainly.
And I enjoyed that a lot.
Okay, cool. Andy?
I like when Hulk just wailed on Loki.
Yes! That was great.
No matter how many times I see it, it's never.
It was
not
a very
funny
moment.
It was perfect. And so, speaking of funny moments, my complaint with most comic book movies is that the humor seems so forced and horrible.
Yeah.
And it seems clear that they're like, all right, we've gone like 15 minutes of just kind of like just straight action, so let's find a joke to throw right here so that we can just move on and do stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like most of the humor in comic book movies aren't satisfying, but that moment was like really perfectly timed out.
Yeah.
Spaced out
and I feel like the Marvel movies have done a good job like of slamming in those moments and making them like
mm-hmm.
the humor a little more natural and kind of truer to the nature of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, favorite moment?
Well, since Loki's taken, I'll go with
yeah.
the moment when Captain America is like barking orders at the cops. The cops are like,
yeah.
Why should we follow you? He just punches the shit out of like three Chitauri dudes, and he's like. He just repeats it and just like goes out.
Yeah.
That was funny to me. And just what better way to convince someone to do what you said?
Yeah, yeah.
To punch
just
other
beat
stuff.
That ass in front of them. Oh, question for you that I meant to ask earlier. What did you think of the helicarrier?
The helicarrier. Oh boy, it's fine.
do you think it's somebody that a certain somebody might have been able to build, maybe in a place lacking
yeah.
the available resources?
Tony Stark may have built that in a cave. With scrap.
There we go. Bam, our obligatory Iron Man 1 callback with Jeff Bridges' best line ever.
Have you been doing that every...
We have incorporated
since?
That into every, every one since. It's been a lot of fun. Jackie, favorite moment?
It's kind of a couple scattered throughout. Mostly
okay.
the beginning. It's where any of the Avengers, the good guys, are fighting each other.
Yeah.
Especially between Hulk and Thor, because just after they made the Hulk, it was kind of like, what do? We just made the strongest guy ever. Like, who can fight this guy? And they, you know, it's ends up being not a person who can fight this. They introduce Thor, who has enough strength to combat the Hulks.
Yeah.
And I liked watching all of them kind of fight and prove that they're even, so, like, they're not undefeatable.
Yeah, definitely. I one of my favorite moments in the Thor and Hulk fight is that brief moment where where Hulk tries to lift Thor's hammer and he can't.
Yeah.
That was cool. I like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's so good.
I really thought he was going to put it... I thought he was going to get him on the ground and just put the...
Hammer on his chest. Like Thor. Which, I mean, really, that should have been what he did.
Yeah.
But him being distracted while trying to pick it up was also pretty good.
Yeah.
Those are all some really solid scenes. Obviously, again, Loki getting whipped around like a rag doll, and then Hulk following it up with puny god. As he's off.
I could imagine seeing that like at a midnight screening, the audience going nuts.
They
at
did.
That
they absolutely
moment.
Did. It was like me, Colin, and Anthony, and a couple other people, and the audience went batshit.
And it comes at the right moment too.
It
right
well
like
done.
It's right at the
very well
peak.
Done.
And there's been all this build up that is just like, you're just, let's treat you like a little bear. Because this is what you've been doing.
I hope not. Like
yeah, no,
baby.
I realized after I said it that that's not how you treat me.
Smart guy, doesn't know how babies work. those are all solid moments. I think that one, Bruce Banner as he's walking up to fight and just turning around, that's my secret cap mode. Was it? I'm always angry. Chills every time I see that scene.
Excellent.
I really like the banter between all of them, like especially when they're in the helicarrier and they're in the lab, like in Captain America and Iron Man are provoking each other. And they keep going back and forth. It's like, put on the suit. Let's see who's the better person. And then they get attacked. And they're both just like, yeah, we should put on the suit. There's bad guys here. there's just so many moments like this. And again, like, everything that these characters do is true to the nature of these characters. And I think, in that respect, like, this movie knocks it out of the park. And that's why it's one of my more favorite superhero movies.
And put on the suit moment that you were just mentioning, I thought it was funny that it looked like they just messed up filming, that they ran into each other.
Yeah.
Because Tony Stark, like, takes this straight line, and Captain America, like, sort of curves, and they sort of run into each other. He's like, no, you go! Go!
Yeah.
It was just a weird little moment that I was like, oh, I wonder if they did that on accident.
I mean, to be fair, if you were on a thing that just got blown up, you'd probably be a little disoriented.
Well, yeah, obviously.
It's like they did the thing where they put their head on the bat for a relay and they spin around three times and try to run. that old superhero trial and tribulation.
That's how they train for that.
Cool. We're going to wrap it up there, I think. Thank you, Jackie, for guest hosting. Alex, Andy, and Dan for coming on and doing
thank
the
you.
Podcast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.